This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello everyone, it's now 5:36, so I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. People back, feel free to get some food, file in as we go along. So first off, we'll begin with introduction of the voting members and roll call. So Jeffrey Bergbaugh, and I apologize in advance that we'll mispronounce many names today. Andrea is here, I'm here. Catherine is out of the country currently, but she'll rejoin us for our next meeting. Jesse Goldberg. Oh, sorry, the humanities people will also be a little bit late today. So, social sciences. Paul Berry.
Here.
William Nicholson.
Here.
Todd Snyder.
Here.
Lynn Zhu.
Here.
Okay. Alexander Thompson.
Here. I'm a vet student.
What?
I'm a vet student.
Oh, okay. I will. I'll change that. Biological Sciences, sorry, Cora. And Vivi Finley, she will also be late. And Ian. Okay. So, first on our agenda, we are joined today by President David Corden and Vice President Susan Murphy. So, I'll turn it over to them.
Thanks very much. Thank you for having us. And we're both of us really glad to be here for the first meeting that we're attending this year. We look forward to more meetings together with you. And basically want to leave all the time for your questions or comments or advice to us. So unless Dr. Murphy has...
The only thing I would share, and probably most of you are aware, we are continuing work on the GPCI, Graduate Protection Community Initiative, that was authored a year ago March, okay? Year ago spring. And presented to the university and the trustees. Vice Provost Barb Roof and I are overseeing a group of colleagues who are working with group colleagues and other staff and students as well on the key themes that were identified in the GPCI for the task group around each one of those areas. We will be having our first meeting later this month. We were early in October, and we've asked the task group to go through a very thoughtful piece of the GPCI, where I would categorize the recommendations in probably three categories. Things that may be underway but are blind and students to cover if you have a huge communication issue we need to address. Things that we are in process with and working together. And things that the students articulated that might be deemed aspirational in terms of timing or dollars, and we try to lay that out. And so I would imagine that Richard and Andrew at some point will want to have a conversation with the GPSA and just how that conversation and those work is going in mental health, diversity, career services, housing, et cetera. So if you're not, if you're fairly new in your role here at the GPSA and you're not conversant, for the GPCI, I commend that document to you. It's a result of a lot of hard work of your predecessors. It builds on an earlier document called the GCI, the Graduate Community Initiative. It was adapted to include professional schools as well as graduate communities. And so that's a major topic of our focus on graduate professional communities.
Susan, will the formal feedback on that to the GPSA be from through you and being moved, or will those individual groups directly come back to?
My guess is we'll coordinate a response, but she and I haven't talked about that because we don't quite know what we're going to do and what we're seeing them do.
And there's eight groups?
So if you're new, become conversant. If you're old, if you're new, become conversant. If you're an experienced member of the GPCSA, know that it's an active document that we're working on. We're currently on the shelf.
There's a big difference between experience and old.
Well, I know that.
Okay.
So we're ready for questions or comments, or whatever people would like to know.
Questions?
Or here.
Hi, thank you for coming to speak with us today. I appreciate it. My question is about the New York City Tech Campus. You've kind of discussed you are in terms of programs and offerings and kind of what the mission is for, say, 5 years down the road. Is it to add more programs, add more courses within the field that you offer?
Okay. So thanks for the question. In case you didn't hear it, the question was a request for a real quick sort of status update on Cornell Tech. And I'll do the best I can off the top of my head, and I will follow up with you to send you a more formal update, and I'll get it to you probably the first part of next week. We have trustee meetings this week in New York. There are 3 master's programs this year. There's about 100 students on the campus and about 13 or 14 faculty. I may have a number off by one or more, but by around one. There's master's of engineering and computer science, a master's degree in computer science. There's a new accelerated MBA program. And there's the first of the dual degree offerings with Technion connected media clients. And there are also PhD students there. The PhD students are basically linked to the PhD programs, but they may be doing work with a professor there or doing some work that joins both campuses. And there are postdocs there, and once again, please take this as approximate. I think there are 6 postdocs there now. This the right order of magnitude. I apologize if the exact number is wrong. And they've actually set up a very interesting new intellectual property management system called the Runway Program, or Runway System, of how that intellectual property is being handled. One of the big issues in the tech sector, intellectual property issues are much different than they are, say, in drug development or device development, and so on. So it's a real active campus now with multiple programs going on. And the fact that there's 100 students on campus now, to me, feels like a real going concern. Over the course of the projected full growth of the program, when we're on Roosevelt Island and so on, we anticipate there'll be over 2,000 students eventually, and perhaps maybe 300 faculty, depending on exactly how the recruitment goes. So this is the beginning of it. The space in the building that belongs to Google has been expanded. The space has been donated to use by Cornell Tech, so we have more space there now. But if you have a chance to go down there, because you do represent those students as well, so I think it would be great if the GPSA leadership or whatever you think is appropriate, if you have any chance to go there, it'll feel like it's crowded and people are there doing a lot of things. So that's a basic run through. And should I send it to you? Would that be okay for if I wanted to send a more formal update? And it'll correct any mistakes I just made in terms of numbers. And then I'll also give you what their projections are for programs going forward. I know there's active faculty recruiting continuing to go on. And those faculty, some are recruited to be Cornell faculty, and some are recruited to be faculty in the Jacobs Institute, which is an innovation institute formed by the partnership with the Technion. And so I'll send this stuff to you, but it'll be till next week. So you can get your email and also.
And the only other thing that I would add is the facility project continues, and I believe they're still hoping to be on track to open the building on the Roosevelt Island, the first building in 2017. So in 5 years from now, hopefully, when we talk about how many students will be, because they'll be on Roosevelt Island in the building.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Yeah, definitely. Just writing it down so I don't forget. When you get more experience, as Dr. Murphy said, you'll need to write things down so you don't forget them. You know?
Last year, this body and student assembly and faculty assembly, as we know, any employee assembly all passed resolutions supporting the divestment from fossil. And that time also some of our peer institutions like Harvard and Stanford got some attention for moving in the direction of that. Stanford, for example, generated some headlines for this coal divestment. So it's my understanding that the coal divestment just formalizes what is already our investment position, in the sense that we are not in coal. So would something like that be possible for Cornell? And I guess I'm just asking more broadly about where we are on the whole divestment definition issues.
Yep. So the question has to do, if I can interpret it and make sure that I get this right, what's our current thinking on divestment as a maneuver period, specifically, but maybe not limited to, not limited to the fossil fuel, but focusing on the fossil fuel issue.
Yeah, fossil fuels and coal in particular, and then also just a quick update on carbon neutrality.
Okay, thank you, so I got it wrong. So, as you just correctly stated it, Stanford did announce that they were going to not have a position in coal, invest in position in coal. We haven't had that. And this campus is one of the first big campuses to become coal-free. In fact, the first campus of our type to become coal-free 4.5 years ago, I think I had that right. And that was coincident with us opening the combined heat and power plant, which runs on natural gas takes two passes of the gas through, once for heat and once for power. And so we've never made a public statement about that, but we don't have a position in coal. So you stated that exactly right. The resolution that came through had two parts to it from the Faculty Senate. One part was the divestment, the other part was to accelerate the goal date for the campus to become carbon neutral. When I signed the president's so-called President's Climate Commitment, we were one of the early schools to sign with over 600 schools now. We promised to be carbon neutral in 2050. And based on the faculty resolution, I accepted that aspect of the resolution, and we've recast the climate plan to make us coal-free 15 years, not coal-free, excuse me, to make us carbon neutral 15 years earlier. Now, we're, by 2035, sorry. Now, we're far from being carbon neutral. And a campus like this that literally operates 24/7, especially for graduate education and research, it's a tall order, but we're taking it seriously, and I accepted that an intent for us to get there. We have reduced the carbon footprint of the campus over the last decade by around a third. So it's a big change. Some of that has to do with the combined heat and power plant. Some of the reduction has to do with the full use of the lake source cooling. And so we have a lot farther to go. I asked the Dean of Faculty, Professor Jill Burns, and the Vice President for Facility Services, Hugh Wong, to appoint a combined faculty-staff group that did confer with students, but there were no students directly on the group, to my knowledge, I think that's great. And to tell us what it would take to really get there, not just to have the rhetoric or get through a couple of presidencies and say we're making progress to get there. And they turned in the report recently to me, recently at the end of the spring semester, and I had a chance over the summer to look at it. And it's breathtaking in its ambition. It's a big deal. I'm intending for us to go in that direction. Elements of it, just summarized very broadly, include individual decisions, like what we do about our own transportation decisions, what we do about whether we're willing to give up control of the thermostat, how we feel about lights not being on at our behest, but being on automatic kinds of motion detectors or whatever it might be. So all those I put in the category of individual decisions that would be made to reduce consumption. A second will have to do with the use of new technologies or new ideas. Honestly, many of which are going to come from your generation of researchers to figure out the next sort of combined heat and power plant, if you will, something that will allow us to enormously reduce consumption or make the use of whatever fuel is used, whether it's fossil fuel or renewable fuel, go longer for the task. And then the third is a whole bunch of other areas that are a combination of different things. I would summarize that third category as saying that we make a decision as a campus to turn towards sustainability as one of the main motivating goals of what we do. Now, that might mean a different approach to investing, although we didn't establish a separate position like Harvard did. When the first resolution came through, I did, at that time, the chief investment officer reported to me, and I directly directed the investment office to find more opportunities to invest the endowment in renewable fuels. And that's easy for me to say. They have to find the things that meet sort of risk and return parameters, but still go in that direction. And the other aspect of turning the campus towards sustainability is something that we tend not to do. You don't want bureaucrats like me telling you what to study or your thesis advisor what to do research in. We believe that it's left in your hands, in your faculty colleagues' hands, or your postdoc colleagues' hands. And yet, I'm going to try to use the bully pulpit and the remaining time that I have it here to try to exhort people to go in that direction. The Atkinson Center for Sustainable Future has, the last time I looked at the numbers, and once again this will be approximate, something like 350 faculty fellows. I have a total faculty complement on this campus of about 1,600. That's a massive complement when you figure there's many disciplines that, at least at first blush, you know, might not make sense to be oriented towards sustainability research and studies. But the thing that was surprising and really encouraging to those of us who think this is a super high priority is how many people from how many different fields want to do that. The Faculty Senate, I think this Wednesday, maybe, I don't know if Gina can help me verify that or Carberry, but I think this Wednesday the Faculty Senate is getting a report on the report of that committee for how to move that along faster. Is that right? And so the day after tomorrow, and I'm sure that I can speak for the people who organized it, Q1 and Professor Burns, that if you wanted an update specifically for the GPSA, they'd be glad to do it. And just write to me, David Gutsford, and let me know if you want that to happen, and we'll arrange it. But at least, you know, a link where you can go and read the report. They're going around to different groups. The one thing that I've still not been interested in doing is divesting completely from fossil fuels for the reasons that I laid out earlier. And just to reiterate the main reason, not to beat this to death, but the university's financial margin is really, really razor thin. It's on the order of magnitude of $4 or $5 million margin on a $3.7 billion denominator. Most of that margin is at the medical college. Very small proportion of it is here. And I don't know whether, I'm not a big expert in investments, that's putting it mildly. I don't know whether divesting from fossil fuels will hurt us or potentially hurt us to the extent that we go back into deficit spending again. It may not. I'm just not willing to take that risk when the margin is so thin and when the needs are so broad. And if the day comes where the margin is more robust, which would be great, you know, for 100 reasons, it may be possible to revisit the concept, but I'm anxious about it. I think that's the right word. So that's a little bit of an update on where we are. And Richard, if you let me know, or Andrea, if you want to have some sort of briefing about this, I think it's relevant to all of the shared governance groups because everybody was on board, as you mentioned. And so just write to me and let me know, and we'll make sure that somebody gets you in whatever way you want. Comes to a meeting or meets with the GPSA leadership or however you think that would be best. Yeah, you're welcome. Feel free to ask Dr. Murphy a question.
Just to follow up on what you mentioned about the runway program.
Yeah.
Can you include, I'm from the law school,
yeah,
and there are people interested in IT there. Is there any way that these students can shadow intern or work on that legal team on their program?
Law students? Yeah, very interesting. I don't know. It's a very interesting question, and I'll ask Dean Huttenlocher. I will see him later this week. And hang on, I'm going to write this down for my experience memory. Can law students work on some aspect of the runway program? So the answer is, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. The other thing interesting about the intellectual property activity on campus, and forgive me if I've already mentioned this to some of you, when we first won the contest and we're setting this up, there's so much disagreement about intellectual property management out there right now. The tech sector, as a very bold generalization, tends to be less oriented toward patenting than, say, biotechnology or pharmaceuticals, medical devices, other things. And we were contacted. I got a call in my office one day from the Undersecretary of Commerce, and those people just don't call me in general. And the Secretary of Commerce called, and Dean Huttenlocher and I went to Washington to meet him. And their point of asking us to meet with them was that they were not aware of another campus that had started sort of from scratch in the tech sector, and they figured that eventually we'd have to be dealing with intellectual property issues, and they wanted to learn along with us. So they've assigned someone from the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, which is part of Commerce, who is on site in the Google building and will be with us on Roosevelt Island to sort of give advice to students and postdocs and faculty about all the intellectual property stuff that's extant right now, and also perhaps, you know, have their ears to the ground about what kind of stuff you all come up with. And there's been actually a lot of very interesting articles in the general press lately about this sort of disconnect between how different people feel about that. And it's interesting that they came to us to ask, could they be a part of this campus? And, you know, we're just getting geared up now, but I'm sure that that'll be part of the ongoing discussion because of all the controversy about it. So I'll get back to you. Once again, please be patient with me. It'll be next week sometime. And I'll get... Do you want to really make this happen? Just right now while you got your computer open, send me david.scorton@cornell.edu, then I'll have your email.
Sure.
And then as soon as you get done, you can go back to your email yourself there, which would be cool. Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, please.
I was wondering if you're going to make publicly available before you make any decisions, cost benefit analysis, impact divesting. My colleagues are concerned that you may be taking an idealistic position that could actually harm our ability to invest in improving our operations because of huge our carbon emissions.
Yeah.
And the researcher, Sean Colton, who's actually done the financial projections himself. And the biggest worry that he's saying about us is he didn't get out much, but the British Society.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a terrific thing. Send me your contact as well. I'm going to connect you with the chief investment officer. His name is A.J. Edwards. He has been, we've always had good investment officers here. He's got a particular to my eyes, been a breath of fresh air because he wants to involve students. Many of them are undergrad students, some MBA students. I don't think he's been involved with your group yet. But he's done some of his own, or I should say they've done an investment off of some of their own projections. And if you write to me, and once again, be patient until we get through board meetings this week, I'll have him connect directly with you so you get straight from the expert's mouth. And to the extent that you're comfortable sending me a little message that I can forward directly to him, it'll make it more efficient enough, and I'll get that done. It's a really, really important problem. And as you know much better than I do, the projections depend on all kinds of assumptions about volatility and market behavior and the pace of research and the effect of that research on the price of different kinds of fuels as well as consumption. And so there's a lot of some multivariate sort of optimization problem. And I just said more than I really understand about it, but I thought that was pretty, well. I think it's a good point. I do want to emphasize, though, not to dodge controversy. My main sentiment about it is uncertainty about the effect. In other words, even with all respect, even if projections were done by people who really know what they're talking about, the error bars on those correlations and projections are going to be wide, I think. And they're going to vary with time. And so because the margin is so precious and small, I'm just nervous about it. And so, but AJ will be able to give you a talk your language. And so tell me your last name. Okay, thanks. Please write to me. And I have time for one more quick one, if that's okay.
Last spring, you did CFA, and all of us at CFA had a lot of conversations about workers' compensation coverage for graduate students. Now that we're at the start of the fall semester, is there an update from
Yeah, there is an update. The expert update would have been delivered by Dean News, who I thought would be here today. Norman, who was at these meetings. And Dr. Murphy, I think you talked to her. We wanted to bring you the facts, and she's not here today, so.
My understanding is not that earlier this fall, they have actually made some good progress in conversations. They're not quite ready to lay out what might be some next steps. So I think when she gets back from her travel to the Dr. Dean's this week, she will be ready to talk to you and the graduate community. There's a lot of conversations about the whole injury issue and the different content into that and what is the process by which it was filed. And so there is work underway that is not yet done or not as possible.
And it's not a drive, it's just that she's about to roll some things out. So I guess my recommendation, just following up what Dr. Murphy said, would be to you guys have more contact with her on a regular basis than you do with me. Ask her to talk to you about it in whatever setting you want. She's, would it be fair to say she's close to being able to roll something?
I think
we're
getting very close. Okay. And whether that means all of the concerns, you know, will be the next level, but it's not like it's not there's no conversation or action is coming out of the conversation that's been type of
stuff.
Sorry?
Can I just ask a related question?
Of course.
The last spring, the Cornell graduate student hired a graduate student union form or membership of summer conversations with the administration or their plans to engage with that group.
It's something you also have to talk to the dean about. And once again, please don't take that as a guide. I think that's a conversation that you initially have to have within the graduate school, per se. And I've worked in environments both where there was unionized and where there was not unionized grad students. So obviously there's a range of areas. And I'm just sorry that Dean isn't here, but I should give you more direct answers to that. But they're both really important questions. Back just for one moment to the workers' comp issue. If there's a group among the GPSA that has taken the time to learn about the details and vagaries of how the system works, that would be good for when you have that conversation. It's a complicated set of systems. Appreciate you guys having us here. Hope you have a really nice meeting, and see you guys again. And we're going to leave now, and you have to stay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for the support. Okay, so we will now go into new business. So up first for today, we are going to be having elections. So we have actually quite a few more elections than we would normally have at our first meeting. First, we have to elect the two master's voting members. The first master's voting member seat goes to an engineering student, and so at this time, I'll take any nominations for the position of voting member for Masters of Engineering student, and you can nominate yourself if you're interested in the position. So, is there anyone interested in running for voting member? So, without nominees from the engineering, it'll become an at-large seat. So, are there any first question, friends, are there any master's students today? Okay, one, two, three. Okay. So, would anyone be interested in running for the voting member seat? Okay. I'm sorry, could you say your name? Can you spell it? Okay. Seconded. Awesome. Okay, so is there anyone else who wishes to run? There are two seats open, so there would be, if someone else wants to run, it would still be uncontested. Okay.
Ashley Jones.
Seconded. Okay. So now we'll go into vote. It's always done by secret ballot, but since it's an uncontested election, I think we can vote by affirmation. Sure. Start with you.
My name is Robert. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm in a Bethesda Fellows School. This is my third master's degree, so I'm getting really good at being a student. I'm an engineering degree and also an MBA, and I went to an undergraduate at Vanderbilt a few years ago. So I'm excited to join this group and be a part of the whole Cornell community.
Okay. Alright, so we will vote to elect both to be voting members by affirmation. So all those in favor? Or motion to vote to elect them. Yes.
For the record, all members, so those who vote to Andrew Hunter, vote for voting members.
Thank you. So motion to vote for Haynes and Ashley as voting members.
Seconded.
Okay. So, all those in favor of electing these two voting members?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. So, congratulations. You are now voting members of the GPSA. Alright, so next up we have a few chair positions we need to elect. First, programming board chair. This is an important position. It involves, you know, coordinating events for the graduate school and of course coordinating the graduate ball, which happens at the end of the year. So right now I was asked, are there any people who would be, or anyone wants to nominate someone to run for position? Clarification? The chair has to be filled by a voting member, though if there is no voting members to take the position, then we will open it up to field representatives as well. So, are there any nominations for the chair of the programming board? All right, are there any nominations amongst field representatives for chair of the programming board? Okay. Run with the program board, obviously. The program board schedules, actually, Anne is here, she can say more about it. Nominations for the position. Okay, so we will revisit this one, table it for now, and hopefully we will find a good candidate soon to take on those responsibilities. So move on then for now to the diversity committee chair. The diversity committee.
Diversity and international.
Sorry, students. Yes, diversity and international students committee. So, are there any nominations for chair of the diversity international students committee? They were created as part of the GTCI and attempt to engage more diversity international students and what services can be provided for them. And also think in terms of organizing events for them to see what are the needs of diversity international graduate students specifically and how they can better serve. So, are there any nominations amongst voting members? Okay, we will now move to nominations amongst field representatives. Okay. Yes. Your name?
Catherine
Herleman. Okay. Seconded. So, like, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So, I'm a senior PhD student in geological sciences. I'm very lucky to be on a diversity fellowship and I'm here, and I'm also a year scholar. So, essentially, like Cornell, I'm a first generation college student and graduating first generation scientist. So, I also work with a college of engineering to degree the graduate school master's, and I go to conferences and I also work with candidates to make a transition. So I work closely with the Director of Recruitment and with the LADI, which is the Office of Academic Diversity Initiative, with A.T. Miller. And so I feel like I know this community very well, not only because I'm part of it, but also my job and my role to be promoting diversity at Cornell. So I'm very aware of not only formally what our objectives are, but I also feel like I know this, so I feel that I can be part of the Office of this role and make sure that we're doing as we can to spread this body to be featured in
the community. Okay. So, are there any further nominations? Seeing none, motion to vote by affirmation. Okay. All those in favor of electing Catherine to the position of Chair of the Diversity Committee, Diversity and National Students Committee?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Congratulations, Catherine. Finally, the last position that we're looking to fill is our University Assembly. As another University Assembly representative, this person would serve as a full as a member of the University Assembly, full voting member, and they would have responsibilities there to join one of the University Assembly committees, which can be very influential across campus, such as the Codes and Judicial Committee, the Campus Infrastructure Committee. It's a great way to network with all levels of behind the scenes sort of at Cornell University, not just students, but other faculty members and the Employee Assembly. So, is there and like the other positions, it will be filled first by voting members. So, are there any voting members who would be interested in running for this position?
I'm really sorry. That was a lot of information here.
Sorry. So, the University Assembly represents the entire university. So, it's comprised of representatives from the Employee Assembly, Faculty Senate, GPSA and Student Assembly, which represents undergraduate students. The University Assembly they staff committees which deal with issues across Cornell's campus, such as the Cornell Infrastructure Committee, which works on things related to parking, transportation. There's the Codes and Judicial Committee, and these are the only two I can name off the top of my head currently, but there, among others, Codes and Judicial, of course, deals with issues related to the Student Code of Conduct. And issues around there. So, and like I said, it is a great networking opportunity to interact with members of all the other assemblies on campus. I don't feel like it's a fairly large time commitment, but that depends upon the committee you join. They meet once a month. They also get free food. So again, I'll ask, are there any nominations for University Assembly representative? Let's open it to field representatives. Okay, so again, I guess we'll have to table this one. So please consider these positions. They're not terribly large time commitments. I've found in my brief time working as president that it can be a very fulfilling job. You do get to interface with a lot of aspects of behind-the-scenes work at Cornell University. So I think that you get out more than what you put into it, and of course it looks good on a resume to say that you've taken on leadership positions and you're during your graduate school work, no matter if you're going into academia or industry. So I'll definitely ask that everyone consider these positions, and we will rehold the elections for these next year. So, I mean, not next year, next meeting. Yes.
I think we, speaking for myself, so the reason I hand back from nominating myself prior to this is that this is my first time here.
Okay.
And I would not want to be the guy who met the graduate ball.
Understandable.
So I wrote it back because the chair decided to not pay enough money. So, similarly, I guess when you say the university is handed as a representative, I mean, you end up on a company which talks about, for example, then you part question, right, of his compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And suppose that I have absolutely no idea. I don't want to be the one that's holding back the cost. So, well, that was for myself. I don't know if there are any other first-time members here. So I would think that is the kind of holding back. But if, for either of those things, you can get some sort of support experience from members that have before, I'm pretty sure they can
get
some sort of
support. So, I mean, unless things have changed, Cora and Jeff, you guys also do URS this coming year?
This is a conversation still.
Okay. So worth knowing that Cora, sitting behind you, will also be a UA rep. So whoever is considering these positions, you're not the the only person taking on this role. So you can watch Cora, for instance.
I'm also new to the University of Trinity, so we are learning her, but I'm new to the University, and I'm going to have to share the technical term committee. I wasn't on it last year, so I'm reading a lot.
And similarly for the programming board, there is a programming board, they're just looking for a chair. So you wouldn't be alone in programming, you know, assigning all these events, or, you know, making all these decisions.
Okay.
So yeah, the committees and boards that they are chair of exist. So there may even be some experienced, not old, but experienced members on these committees who can tell you what might be more expected of you, but none of these are sole roles.
And as far as the finances go, some sort of budget was proposed for a whole number of events which are already proposed for the year. So it's a matter of making those events happen, and you would have a certain budget to work with. So it wouldn't be your decision necessarily.
And this grad model was really successful last year, so I'm in favor of doing exactly the same thing.
Okay, so I think we'll let people consider these roles a little bit more. Next meeting, we will rehold the elections. And again, please do consider these positions. They're not a very large time commitment, and like I said, you do get more out of it than you put into it. So, moving on from there. So just some more new business. I want to discuss the final exam schedule. So, as per resolution passed by the Student Assembly, and at least to my knowledge, the GPSA does not have a matching resolution, asking for student input on final exam scheduling. So, we will be given 3 final exam schedule scenarios by the administration on September 16th, and then they are asking for recommendations by 4 o'clock on September 22nd, which is the date of our next meeting. So we will be meeting an hour and a half after the deadline, and I have tried to get them to extend that deadline to just 8 o'clock that day so we could at least meet about it. They said no, they want the recommendations by then because they have to publish the schedule within, like, that week. I think it's Wednesday that they publish the schedule. So I am seeking some volunteers to meet in between September 16th and September 22nd to discuss the final exam schedule scenarios, give your input if you have an interest in what happens with your final exam schedule. You can email me if you're interested in this. And my email is rcw244@cornell.edu, and I've also sent out plenty of things to members in GPSA Info, so everyone here should have my email. Also, I spoke with the SA president about coordinating graduate students and undergraduate student efforts when it comes to the final exam schedule, on the belief that if we both favor one of the three scenarios, maybe that scenario might actually be the one that gets picked. So rather than holding a separate meeting with undergrads and graduate students, she said that they will actually be meeting that week on Thursday, and they'll be discussing the issues. So she has invited a delegation, so to speak, of graduate students to come to the SA meeting and discuss the issue with them, and she says that she will yield speaking privileges to us for that meeting. So again, if you're interested, please contact me. I'm looking for any number, however many people want to meet to discuss the issue. I'm happy to have the entire assembly meet on the interim. It just won't obviously be an official meeting. So that is all I want to say about the final exam schedule. I will present whichever one gets decided by that group of graduate students. Whichever recommendation we decide to make, I'll present that to us at our next meeting. And then we will see what the final posted exam schedule looks like. So now, I wanted to hold a breakout session for the committee chairs to go around and discuss the their various committees with people and try and recruit people to work on their committees. So we will break up the room by field. No, yes. So we'll have, I guess we can have humanities, if you're falling from humanities field on this side of the room here, then social sciences can take this half, biological sciences this half, physical sciences sort of stay in this general area.
Professional schools?
Oh, sorry, professional schools, right. Up top, professional schools up top. Okay, so if you guys want to be around, committee chairs, if you guys want to come down here and we will...
because our voices are not heard enough in these policy conversations.
And the second event is happening is the AGPS National Conference, which will be happening on September 6th tonight in Columbia, Missouri, hosted by Missouri's Graduate Student Association. This is sort of an opportunity to network with student leaders from all across the country, learn about what they're working on, learn about best practices, come back and share that with the GPSA. I went to an AGPS National Conference last year. I'll probably go to it this year because I have to. As a leader of the organization. And so both of these I would encourage you to attend, especially if you're interested in the legislative academy, which is coming up super, super quick. Email me. I personally did sort of getting a group last year to go. There is occasionally money set aside in our budget for this, although it has at least has a free registration fee for any DPS members. So it's most of the cost is getting to DC and then staying somewhere for that time. So especially if you're interested in that, if you can email me, if you can work backwards. There's my email, and then you could say at cornell.edu. And let me know if you're interested in learning more about the organization by meeting about it all the time.
So before we move on with open forum, I realize quite often there's a very good question that we need to approve this from our meeting from the end of last semester. So a motion to approve this from the final meeting of the spring semester. All those in favor?
Aye.
Alright, minutes are approved without correction. So now we will continue with the open forum.
So my name is James Bull. I'm the treasurer for the GPSA, and I just wanted to let the committee chairs know that I'll be contacting you over the next few weeks just to talk about budgets for the next year and use previous years to go by.
Anyone else for the board?
Move to adjourn.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.